You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers and top Republican lawmakers met Friday for the first time in 6 months on COVID relief measures. The parties called the meeting productive. Evers told WKOW-TV.
There was no shouting or screaming. We were just pretty much answering questions and looking forward to a solution.
What do you want from your lawmakers at this point in the crisis? What is a crucial next step? State it here, 800-642-1234. Representative John Nygren's district includes Marinette, Oconto, and Suamico in the northeast part of our state. He co-chairs the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Representative Nygren, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Good to be with you.
How would you characterize the meeting between top Republican lawmakers and the governor Friday?
Definitely characterize it as positive. It's a first step. There seems to be progress towards or agreement towards extending some of the provisions that were in the first relief bill that was passed back in April. I think that's a positive step. But I guess getting people together is always a positive, especially when there's a lot of disagreements. And this was a much needed conversation that should have taken place a long time ago.
You know, we're on the cusp of a vaccine, and throughout this pandemic, Republicans and Democrats have not demonstrated a spirit of cooperation in our state. But vaccine rollout is all about cooperation and coordination. How can we trust that the vaccine's distribution here in Wisconsin will not be undermined by the political gamesmanship we're seeing among Wisconsin politicians?
Well, I'm not sure I would call it political gamesmanship. There's definitely been trust issues. If you remember back to the spring when the folks all met together, leadership and from the legislature and the governor's office, the governor's office recorded the conversation. Things have been played out in the media rather than having conversations, face to face. So I think there's definitely a trust issue. But as I stated earlier, when there's been a desire from both sides to come together to get something done, we got that bill done in April. I believe it passed almost unanimously through both houses, and those were things that both the governor's office and the legislature agreed on. And so let's have those conversations. Let's stop playing politics with this. I mean, I heard a lot about this during the campaign cycle about how, what has the legislature done? Well, finally, actually, somebody from the media actually asked Governor Evers, what would you like them to do a few weeks ago? And he had nothing. The legislature typically either works with the administration on significant health issues like this. To actually expect us to know what the daily needs are of DHS, is a little unreasonable. But sitting down together, I think we can come up with a plan that actually will benefit the people of Wisconsin.
The governor declared a new public health emergency Friday and extended the statewide mask mandate, emergency order number one. Do you support these orders?
Well, I think the orders are one thing, meaning the desire to protect the people of Wisconsin and people to be safe and to reduce the loss of life that we're seeing in our state and our nation. First of all, I support the CDC guidelines. I wear a mask. I wash my hands. We're avoiding a large group. My family's doing something different for Thanksgiving this year, keeping it to a small, close-knit group. Those things are all positive. But the people of Wisconsin, especially when you get in more rural areas, these are freedom-loving people who just simply want to be left alone by government, dictate from the governor whether it's legal or not. I mean, there is some question to whether it is, and I think that'll be handled in the courts. That I don't believe that's the answer. However, Republicans and Democrats coming together saying these are the right steps for us to do to protect ourselves, protect our neighbors, I think that's something we all can do. Yet, it doesn't seem, because of some of these trust issues we've had in the past, doesn't seem like we're quite there yet. Mm.
Patrick is with us from Richland County now. Hi, Patrick. What would you like to add?
Hey, good morning. Great show. Kate, say, I would like to ask Representative Nygren, is wearing a mask in public, like when you go into Quick Trip, for instance, is that the best way of stopping the spread, by wearing a mask? Yes or no?
Well, I mean, I believe that the healthcare folks will tell you it's one of the important steps, but it's not something that's going to completely protect you.
Well, so if it doesn't completely protect us, then do like the Republicans and don't do anything? Voss just said hey, there's never going to be a mandate. And you guys have been in court trying to overturn it, and you got Republican sheriffs telling people that they're not going to enforce it. I mean, you guys are like pro-COVID.
Okay, well, Patrick, let's pause there. You know, should Republicans back litigation of these public health measures that Evers is pushing in the state Supreme Court?
So the bottom line here is, let's make this some other issue, right? If the governor takes a step that is clearly illegal, should the legislature ignore the fact that it's illegal? I knocked on a lot of doors, talked to even Republicans that didn't think, they basically thought that we should leave the mask mandate alone, even if it was illegal. That's not our charge. We are charged with holding up the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin, the Constitution of the United States of America. You know, when we begin to basically shirk those responsibilities, that's when we get in trouble. Let's not do, as I said earlier, let's not do things that are illegal. Let's come together and find a solution rather than, you know, we don't live in a monarchy. We live in a legislative, environment here in Wisconsin. Let's work together to find that solution.
If you're just joining us, we're discussing state politics and the response to COVID with Representative John Nygren of Marinette. You can join in. How do you want to see lawmakers addressing the pandemic? What does a relief package need? What does it look like to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Jody is joining us from Monona. Hi, Jody. What is your perspective?
I guess my perspective is you have healthcare workers out there working 12 hours a day. At their wits' ends, and we can't get, why are our legislatures not working like that? To not be in session for 6 months, and the mask mandate is a help to our health crisis right now. So I just don't understand how our legislatures can get away with not getting together, not trying to work with each other. I mean, it's great to talk about.
And Jody, I want to specifically look at the healthcare worker staff shortage, which is dire here in Wisconsin. Representative Nygren, what could legislation or lawmakers do about that healthcare shortage right now?
Sure. We've had conversations about basically finding ways to streamline the opportunity for people maybe who don't necessarily have specific licensure in certain areas. You know, could we have folks that may not have, we all understand that education and training and all those things are important, but are there jobs that actually people could step into and fill a gap so that we could actually use our best and our brightest in the areas, treating patients? Those are type of things that we are looking at. But the bottom line is I don't disagree with what's been said. We need to have fewer people coming into our healthcare system, so we need to do the things that are right. I think the argument here is that, that obviously mask mandates and other things, while they may be in court, they're in place. They have been in place for several months, and yet we continue to see cases grow and grow and grow. So let's not think that just because the mask mandate constitutionality or legality has been challenged, that actually has hindered healthcare in Wisconsin. There's bigger systematic problems that we both need to address together, and let's take the politics out of it.
I want to switch gears here and look at another system problem, which is unemployment. And unemployment claims, there is still a backlog. You've been very critical of the administration and the Department of Workforce Development on this. How do you want to see it changed?
Well, first and foremost, I think we need to find, actually have a conversation about something that will actually work. We've actually been providing suggestions to the administration. This is an administrative function. Once again, the politics of things, we know we just went through a very, controversial election cycle. We're still kind of struggling with it. We know the politicization has been there. But rather than us being Republicans and Democrats fighting with each other, we've tried to provide suggestions to the administration on steps that could be taken to, reduce the backlog. Initially, it was the call center didn't have the volume. Back in April, we allowed the governor's administration to basically move any employee, from within state government to be able to get into the call center and help. We suggested that we extend call center hours. Initially, I think they were working 7:30 to 3:30. I think it took several weeks. Finally, I think they are at 7:30 to 5. They could go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if that would help. But it seems to be that the systematic challenges are more in adjudication of the problems, and the governor's administration has talked about technology issues, yet there has been no desire, no proposals to be able to address the technology. We're trying to check off the things that they have said, because the administration knows the problems. They work there day in and day out.
But how many more hundreds of people do you want to staff DWD? You know, they've added 681 call center workers through July. They've paid out more than $1 million in overtime, 10 times the levels spent last year. How many more people do you need there, and where will that money come from?
Well, first of all, they need as many as they need to get the job done. If you're somebody who has been waiting for months to get their claim processed, and we've learned over the time that it's not just call center, now it's adjudication. There haven't been a lot of new people added in adjudication to address that backlog. So that, I would say, should be the focus now. You know what? When it comes to resources, if there's dollars that are needed, they got $2 billion from the federal government that had no legislative oversight. There's dollars that have been available. We just need to prioritize the things that are most important. And people these are people who have never been unemployed in their life, being able to pay their bills, you know, pay their mortgages, and put food on the table for their families, that has to be a priority.
We're talking with Representative John Nygren about what to do about this raging virus in our state, what lawmakers will decide to do next. How do you want to see the state cracking down on adherence to public health recommendations? What is your message to lawmakers? Are you a frontline healthcare worker? Brief us on what you see. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Representative John Nygren, who is on the line. He co-chairs the state's Budget Writing Committee. We're looking at the fallout from COVID and what lawmakers plan to do next. Let's bring in Cole, who's joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Cole. What would you like to say? Hey, Cole, are you there? And I don't think Cole is with us. Let's bring in Jan in La Crosse. Hi, Jan. You're on with Representative Nygren.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I don't understand over all these months why other state governors are able to put in a mask mandate and make it, and it's legal. And yet our governor puts in a mask mandate and the Republican legislature takes them to court and overturns it. Our neighboring states of Minnesota and North Dakota have mask mandates. Why is it that it's legal there but not in our state, according to the Republican legislature?
Representative Nygren.
Well, first of all, every state has different laws on the books. That's just different situations from different states. First of all, the mask mandate has not been overturned. There were other steps that the governor took early, the stay-at-home order, other things that were overturned early on, but actually the mask mandate is still in court right now. You know, I think that's a perfect example, though, that let's talk about what other states have done. Minnesota, for example, we get compared to Minnesota a lot, similar size, population, demographics, very, very much similar states. Yet, so they've had a lot more restrictive policies in place over the last, 6-8 months. Yet their cases right now are similar to ours, if not higher. So this should not be about what government can do to reduce the spread of the virus. This should be about what we as individuals of Wisconsin can do to reduce the spread of the virus, protect our families, protect our friends, protect our neighbors. I think changing that conversation will go a long way towards actually keeping people safe. If you expect government to keep us safe, I think we're going to be seriously disappointed.
Jan, thanks. Let's bring in Kenneth in Janesville with a question. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. Good morning. What's the situation regarding renters? I haven't heard too much about that lately, and that there's a whole lot of people that cannot afford the rent.
Rent assistance is the question that Kenneth is asking, Representative.
Well, I first of all, I know there was an executive order on evictions early on. I know the governor has talked about doing something, basically extending that. You know, but it, first of all, I think we need to find a kind of a happy medium here, whether it be, you know, I think the governor is hoping for more federal assistance to be able to address these type of issues. But the reality is, if you're the person who actually owns the apartment or the home and you're actually renting it, you know, that rental income that you get actually feeds your family too. So simply saying that we are going to cease and desist from, you know, any type of evictions without finding a way to actually keep both sides protected, I think is you're choosing sides, picking winners and losers there. So those conversations, I think, need to take place. I think the governor is hopeful that more federal resources come. Yet, you know, we know Wisconsin, we are required like most every state to do a balanced budget. The federal government is not, you know, but that's going to require probably more borrowing and more printing of money at the federal level. So, you know, we have to be careful, you know, any direction that we go.
Well, let's look at the package that the governor put forth last week, 19 bills, $541 million. What are your takeaways? Is there anything enticing in there?
Well, I think many of the initiatives in that bill are things that we already have supported, meaning when we voted back in April. And that's a positive. I think there's a willingness to accept many of those same things. I think one of the major concerns, however, is that the governor is asking for over $500 million in ongoing funding. And what that I mean by ongoing is that's not just one time when dealing with the pandemic. That will be base building. Every single budget, it will be there. It will likely grow in the future. So at a time when the governor's office themselves have said that we're facing about a $2 billion revenue shortfall, as somebody involved with the state budget, that's concerning to me. So I think there's conversations that can be had about extending you know, some of those provisions that we've already supported, yet we also need to look at the long-term financial health of the state as well and not commit dollars that may not be there in the future. One of the biggest takeaways for me in this conversation has been, okay, go back to last budget. You know, Governor Evers signed a budget that the Republicans made a lot of changes in the legislature on. He signed it into law. I actually think that was probably the best thing that he's done since he's been elected governor. Despite the fact that in his initial budget, he had over $2 billion in additional spending, over another $1 billion in taxes increases, we actually pulled back considerably. And while we passed a lot of increases for things like K-12 education, health care, et cetera, at the end of the day, it was a conservative-based budget. Without that, if he wouldn't have signed that into law and we rather would have gone down the pathway he wanted us to, today we'd be in a conversation where we're looking at cutting schools. We wouldn't have the resources to help the health services of our state. So conservative, reasonable steps should be the direction now, just like they were a year ago.
We're talking with State Representative John Nygren about the state budget response to COVID. He was recently reappointed to serve as co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. You can join in 800-642-1234. The State Department of Administration, DOA, on Friday released a new report projecting a state general fund balance of more than $1.2 billion at the end of the current fiscal year. How do you feel about the state budget picture and revenue projections?
Well, I think I go back to what I just said. I mean, if we wouldn't have, so the governor proposed $2 billion more in spending. If they're projecting a $1.2 billion surplus, you know that would be a negative then, right, if we actually would have funded all the desires that the governor had asked for in his budget. So I think that...
But we have a rainy day fund that is at its highest level, you know, since...
Once again, that's
history.
Because of conservative budgeting over the last 8 years. So yeah, there's been a lot of gnashing of teeth over tough decisions that have been made in Wisconsin over the last 8 years. Yet I would point out that actually has set us up for a situation where we have flexibility. So So the proposal or projections that the governor's office is talking about does not, take into consideration what the requests are going to be coming into the next budget. And that's something that I think needs to be talked about as well. I believe they're at $1.6 billion more for education. The rest of the administration, I think, asked for another $700 million. So, there's going to be tough decisions ahead.
At what point do you dip into the rainy day fund?
Well, I think that's a conversation that needs to be had. And it typically starts with the administration. We have not touched the rainy day fund since I've been around. As a matter of fact, when I first started on the committee, I think we had $1 million in the rainy day fund. Now we have over $800 million. So once again, provides flexibility. At some point in time, I think those conversations will be had. But, the governor has had $2 billion in federal funds to this point. There hasn't been a need, and that's a positive thing. It puts us in a good position going forward that if we need it, it's there.
Your colleague, Speaker Voss, has directed a committee with subpoena powers to investigate how the election was administered and the results. Why are you doing this?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that everybody feel that the outcome was fair and just. And whether it's legitimate or some people believe it's illegitimate, looking into the problems that did take place throughout our state, I think is more of an action of transparency, and that's a positive thing for us. Do I believe that we'll see significant changes in the outcome? No, I don't. But why should we not use transparency to give people that sense of comfort that this election was handled appropriately and fairly?
What will the investigation entail?
Well, I think they're looking at some of the concerns that people have addressed. We're looking for people that have. I mean, I've had people call me with issues that they believe took place at their local polling place. The committee is going to look at those individual situations and provide a level of transparency that may not exist right now, so that at the end of the day, that we all can feel good about the outcome. Maybe not happy with the outcome, but feel that it was handled fairly.
Representative Nygren, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you always.
John Nygren, Republican State Representative, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, representing parts of Northeast Wisconsin. Just ahead, we talk about the risks of gathering for the holidays during this pandemic. What are your Thanksgiving plans? What do you want to ask an infectious disease doc? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.